Next Step 199, March 29, 2012. Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast, well, that franchises the disenfranchised. Yeah, we look at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, but we polish it up for today, and we call that polished look Armadoxy. So kick back right now, put on those lenses, take a walk with us. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Ah, so good to have you with us. I like the way that guy runs, don't you? It's like if you're listening on stereo phones, he like runs in one ear and he ends up at the other ear. Whether you're running, you're walking, you're crawling with us, I'm glad you're taking a next step. This is the last next step of the Lenten season 2012. Hard to believe. Hard to believe we finished Lent already. Ends officially tomorrow at sundown. It's been a good one. I don't know how about for you, but for me it's been a good one. It's been challenging. It hasn't been like any other Lent I've ever had, but it's had its moments, but it's been good. It's given us a lot of time for reflection, introspection. I hope it has for you too. We are also the last, this is the last podcast for the 100 series. We just looked it up this morning, 199. This is podcast 199. Can you believe it? Next week, Holy Week, we will be doing podcast number 200. Nah, it's just another podcast, just another number, but it's kind of neat when they, you know, when they're circular. When they're rounded. Well, 200 coming up next week. It is also a podcast that we are remembering our original mission to the disenfranchised. Do you remember that? Susie used to come on and say that we had a mission to the disenfranchised. And that, for some reason, during the last several weeks, because of what's been going on in the world and the way the church has been responding, that theme, the idea of the disenfranchised and making them franchised, in other words, making the church relevant, has been something that I've been kicking around a lot. Well, those of you who've been following Next Step and following this ministry know that it's really at the cornerstone of what we're all about. But during the last several weeks, I've been hurt by it. I got to be honest with you. I've been hurt that we are still in this church that is so disconnected from reality. And there are so many disenfranchised people. And by this, I'm not talking about people who don't come to church. I'm talking about a community that does come to church, but has no clue what we're talking about. And especially, I think this is very prevalent, at least from our listeners who write to me, who've been engaged in correspondence, so prevalent not only in the Armenian Orthodox, but I would say in many of the traditional communions, many of the traditional churches, where you have issues of language, where you have issues of, well, of ancient rites, ancient rituals being trying to coordinated for the day today. And it is a challenge. It is a challenge on the local level for pastors. It is a challenge on the larger level for diocesan primates, ordinaries, and of course it is a challenge for the entire church on a global level. How do you make that relevant? Did Jesus have a problem of relevancy? Well, obviously not. He was a man of the first century, and therefore he was very relevant with the times, right? And so we are basically now a body of the 21st century trying to tap into something that comes to us from first century. And then what we do here on Armadoxy, we go back to the beginning of time and then bring it in. And how does that all fit in with the guy who is, well, like if you've been following our Compass podcasts, we were just talking about that. It's the multidimensional individual. And certainly we have that multidimensional individual in all of us. We are not no longer just this homogenous group of people collectively. We're no longer just that individual who has one job, but we have multitude of different hats that we wear, different masks that we put on, and that gets us through. So, with that being said, I want to give you an idea where we're going today. We're going to be talking about that disenfranchised group. We're going to be talking about making the church relevant. We're going to be talking about a few different topics. And, well, like most next steps, we'll be taking some steps forward, okay? How about that? We've got a song of the day. I was watching this little clip somebody had put on Facebook of Mary Hopkins, Those Were the Days. Do you remember that? 1968. Those Were the Days. Beautiful, beautiful clip. It is not the song of the day, but it certainly could be. I've picked out another one towards the end of this Lenten season, and we'll listen to that in a few minutes. And actually, you know what? Why don't we start that early? I'm without engineer, but the good news is next week, yeah, I got a little surprise for you. Next week, Ken's going to be back. He's coming out for Easter. He's going to be with us during Holy Week. And he said that he would love to come back into the studio and mix a show with us. So that's going to be exciting, too. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I know there's some people around here who are not, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him. Listen, let's start off with a song for right now. It is the end of the Lenten season. And, you know, I've been playing for you throughout the podcast history. I've been playing songs from some albums that I really, really enjoy. It is, they are albums that are done by the Vazgenyan Seminarians. Now, in Armenia, when I went to seminary, there was one seminary. It was called the Gevorkyan Seminary, and that's right in Echmiadzin in Varshabad city, inside of the compound, Echmiadzin compound. And that was basically the only seminary that there was within Armenia at the time functioning or actually doing some work. Since the fall of communism, through the leadership of some great pontiffs, we've seen some new seminarians. One of the first ones was the Vazgenyan Seminary, named after His Holiness Catholicos Vazgen I, who was really an incredible man in many ways, not only because he was Catholicos, but he was Catholicos through some very, very, very difficult times. 1955 through 1994, 39-year pontificacy. Is that the right word? Yeah. Pontificacy. And during that time, he was the pontiff during the Cold War. It was the pontiff during Mr. Reagan saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, take down that wall." He was the Catholicos when communists crumbled. He was the Catholicos in the new independent Armenia. And just an incredible individual, because he was able to really juggle the many different political systems that existed. And I'm not just talking about the formal political systems. I'm talking about political systems that maybe were not identifiable on paper, but certainly existed if you wanted to get things done. And anybody who's lived in the former Soviet Union knows what I'm talking about. It was a different way of survival. And he actually not only allowed the Armenian church to survive, but under the leadership of His Holiness Vazgen I, the Armenian church actually flourished. It was remarkable. Anybody who would come to Soviet Armenia at that time would comment that religion was somehow, well, it was in the open. Whereas in many of the other Soviet republics, it was underground, it was banned, you wouldn't see it. In Armenia, it was actually in the open. Yeah, I'm not saying that it was complete freedom. I was a seminarian during that time. I remember the young communists coming and actually spitting on us seminarians, actually yelling at us, mocking us. I mean, that's a whole story in itself. But still, under Vazgen I of blessed memory, I mean, this guy was incredible, because he had a language skill. He had a set of skills that really, I believe, were that he was endowed by the Holy Spirit. And that was the Holy Spirit moving the church at that time. And you know, you've got to extend that. And this is what's really important about church or anything. You know, you look at the church and you want to believe that it is the church of Jesus Christ. You want to believe that what Christ said, it is being moved by the Holy Spirit. And then you see certain leadership, you see certain people, and naturally as a human being, you stand back and you're very critical of that system. But, you know, why is it that in certain instances we can sit back and say, okay, there's the Holy Spirit driving it. In other instances, we say, oh, well, that's an awful man. You got to kind of give that benefit of doubt all the way across and say that, okay, maybe it is the Holy Spirit driving that church. Maybe I just don't understand it. And, you know, these kind of concepts come up, especially during Holy Week. You know, there was a verse from St. Nerses Shnorhalis Havadov Chostavanim. He shaz is vorbez zavazagen horjam kas arkayutyam. Remember me as the thief when you come into your kingdom. Now, of course, that's referring to the thief that was on the cross. And it's interesting that the prayer of St. Nerses is, remember me like the thief. Not remember me like the goody good two shoes. Remember me like the angel. Remember me like the thief. Well, because look at the thief. I mean, here's somebody completely by the grace of God. And you're talking about somebody who was not baptized. You're talking about somebody who didn't follow Jesus, who didn't know what was going on spiritually. And yet he is the only person within the New Testament where we see is guaranteed. I'm not saying other people don't go to heaven. I'm just saying this is the only person that we see with no uncertainty. Jesus says, today you shall be with me in paradise. Today. I mean, for God, anything is possible. And so it's not for us to really second guess God, His Holy Spirit. If you want to believe in the concept of the church being driven by the Holy Spirit, you kind of got to eat the whole enchilada, so to speak. Sorry for the metaphor, but it is toward the end of Lent and we are craving that cheese. Oh, okay. No. But you get the idea, right? I mean, this is our holy church. This is our holy church, and so it is being driven by the Holy Spirit. And certainly, you could look at it during the pontificacy of His Holiness Vazgen I, and you look at from 1955 to 1994, all the different transitions, not only within Armenia, but globally. And you look at an incredible individual who was able to manipulate. Yes, I'll use that word. He was able to manipulate different systems, different people, and really move the church forward. Is this given to him as a gift by God? Is this the Holy Spirit working through him? I'd like to believe so. Okay, you can have different kind of reaction. You could say he's an intelligent person. You could say he was a politician. You could say he was well-versed in political science. I want to say it's the Holy Spirit, and I'm content with that. And we need to be at a certain point, because you realize that it is overwhelming all of the different factors that are involved in our lives. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Along with this, I'm writing an article about the virtual Armenia, that concept. And I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm not talking about, you know, that we're on the internet. That to me is sort of passé at this point. But about the concept of what constitutes. Have you ever thought about this idea? Like Armenians, they have this little piece of land that's stuck, landlocked. And, you know, I talk a lot about the miracle of God in not only survival, but in prosperity. Too, in that small little region of Earth. But have you ever thought about what prevents that group of people from just maybe taking over another group, another chunk of land? Here in the United States, we have some states. Oh, take New Mexico. It's 1 million people that inhabit the entire state. It's a beautiful state. Beautiful state. Okay, now what if every Armenian throughout the world, and there's not too many, 8 million of them. How about if every other Armenian, how about if 4 million Armenians populated New Mexico? You could basically create an Armenia over there, and it would be protected by the faith and credit of the United States of America. Wild, huh? Call it Armenia. Speak Armenia. Make it the language of the state. But that's not going to happen, because there's something that ties us to that land. There is something, it's really phenomenal. You go to Armenia, every place you walk into, you see an icon or a picture of Mount Ararat. And Mount Ararat isn't even in the boundaries of Armenia. But everybody knows that that's the Armenian mountain. Yeah, it's not even in Armenia. Yeah, that's a surprise, yeah, isn't it? It's the Armenian mountain. Well, under the way the boundaries go right now, it's in Turkey. But everybody knows it's an Armenian mountain. You cannot go anywhere in Armenia without seeing that icon, that graphic of Mount Ararat. Okay. So there is something that ties us to it, to the land, ties us to the nation, ties us also to the church, because we're not talking about Armenia per se, but we're talking about the things that really that are lodged within our heart. And this is where we're going to be spinning around. I hope you're with us right now. We're going to be spinning around these ideas in the next few minutes because I've got a lot to share with you. So along that line, we started off with the Vazgenian Seminarians. That is a seminary that was built in the 1990s. It is in the Lake Sevan region, and it was named after His Holiness Vazgen the First of blessed memory. In fact, I was there a couple of years ago, took a nice picture in front of a statue of Vazgen the First. Let's see if we can dig it up. We'll maybe put it in the show notes for today. So this is a group of seminarians, and I've played many tracks from their CDs. This one is the younger seminarians, very, very young voices, singing the Lenten song Nayat Sirov. This is the seminarians at the Vazgenian Seminary, Lake Sevan. Nayat Sirov, that is one of the Lenten hymns. Actually, it comes to us from the rest hour of the Armenian church. It becomes prominent during the Lenten season because we have opportunities to sing the rest and the peace hour, two different hours of the church. And that was, the Vazgenian Seminarians. We'll put a link on our show notes so you could check out their music, their CDs. Wonderful, wonderful. It brings back so many good memories, so many beautiful memories. That song, actually, Nayat Sirov, couple things about it. By the way, I used that during our wedding. We had the groom, me, and the ushers. We walked down to Nayat Sirov. It's a beautiful melody. But the words to it come to us from the Catholicos Nerses Schnorhali from the 12th century. And, it, well, if you saw it written out, you would immediately be able to realize it is from Nerses Shnoradi, because the first letter of each of the verses spells out Nerses. And he was not only a master, talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He was a master theologian. He understood where the church was, gifted with music, gifted with words. He was a poet, and these words just flowed from him. So beautiful. During the Lenten season, and especially during Holy Week, we get to hear many of the different variations of his hymns. For instance, Aravod Luso, Ashkar Amenain, Aisor Anjar, three of the hymns that he has authored. And if you follow them, each of the verses begins with one of the letters of the Armenian alphabet. And it gives you an idea of where you're at any one point in life. He's also the author of Havadov Chostamanim, just an incredible individual that we were graced as a church to have him lead. And his remnants are still here today in the songs, in the prayers that he leaves for us to be guided in our spiritual quest. Okay, well, I did tell you that I wanted to talk a little bit about the disenfranchised group. And, you know, this was an idea that we kicked around way early when we first started The Next Step, that there was a group of people that we wanted to target. And one of them was the neophytes. And I think I keep getting, and I want to do a shout out to all of you who've been sending me emails. I love them. I love them. It just makes me realize how far the reach of technology is, how God has given us this opportunity, this blessing. What a blessing God has given us. The neophyte is the person who's really finding truths in ancient orthodoxy, that it's really not something that's just stuffed in the closet. It's not something that you find in history books, but it is something that really guides a person's life in a very new manner. And it connects you with the most ancient of traditions. It goes back to the beginning of time, and it puts in the light of Christ in every single aspect of your life. So where you're walking, you see the light of Christ. And so there is a group that is what we identify as the neophyte, people who are finding truths in ancient orthodoxy. And definitely, I think that Next Step and all of the programming that we have on Armodoxy channel, as well as on Epostle, is reaching out there. Now, I think that the other two groups that we identify, it can almost be like one group, or they probably have some crossover. Okay, so we say that there's another group, those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith. Yeah, that's a big group. That's a big group. And then we talk about the disenfranchised members of the church community. Well, who are those people? People who are probably looking for that deeper application of faith and just feel like, okay, what are we talking about? You're swinging some incense and you're lighting some candles and that's the extent of it. You talk about some history and some saints and what does it have to do with today? What does it have to do with those deeper applications of faith? And I think this questioning is very valid. It's very real. It should be a challenge to any one of us within the church community. It should be a challenge that awakes us to that, yeah, wait, your faith cannot be just something that's in a book. It has to have a real application. It has to connect to real life. And I've been very critical, not only of the church, but I've been very critical of followers who just blindly will throw out concepts or will just flip through Bible passages and say, you know, act as if the Bible was somehow written for them and for their needs. Remember the people who talk about being born again, you know, and they talk about, unless you're born again, you cannot go to heaven. And I'm saved. Well, okay, I'm glad you're saved, but that's a pretty bold statement for you to be able to talk on behalf of God. Well, it says it in the Bible. Well, okay, it says a lot of things in the Bible. I mean, you're also going to talk about that Jesus is the only way. And Well, yes, of course, Jesus is the only way. And then they go on to rationalize, well, the people who haven't heard, they've been given an excuse, and God won't judge them. I mean, they talk on behalf of God. You got to be very, very skeptical, careful of anybody who would talk on such a grand scale. I mean, if you really believe that, you've got to believe, okay, God is the author of all life. There's 8 million people on the planet, 8 billion people, excuse me, on planet Earth. And the majority are not Christian. And so you want to believe that God created the majority of humankind to perish in hell, if you're going to follow their reasoning. And obviously, that just doesn't fit into anybody's real theology. If it does, it's screwed up, right? I mean, seriously, it is really screwed up to believe in a God who creates people to end up in hell and perish and be tormented and killed, all because they didn't have an opportunity. Well, then, you know, like I said, they rationalize. Well, there's the opportunity clause, right? Like the Santa Claus. Remember that movie? There was a small little fine print. Here's the opportunity clause. If they didn't have the opportunity to know Christ, then God won't judge them. You know, mellow out, folks. We got to stop talking on behalf of God and stop the rationalization, stop the ridiculous logic behind some of these things that we believe in. And I always go back to these people that are consumed. I had one the other day come into my office and talk to me about this, you know, that there's basically here in Glendale, there's a picture and it's covered with oil. It's a picture of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's covered with oil. Nobody knows where the oil's coming from. And you always hear about it, right? Stigmata, you know, and she was talking about a friend of hers, her palms were open and stigmata. There was like the impressions of the nails of Christ and blood was dripping. You know, why? Why are we consumed with things like this? I mean, so you see a picture of Mary bleeding or filled with oil. I mean, what does that have to do with your life? And listen again, I'm not saying it happened, it didn't happen. It's secondary. What's important is what does that have to do with the commandment that Christ gave us? Last week was the Sunday of Advent in our church, and it was so beautiful because the Bible reading on the second coming of Christ, the lectionary reading on that Sunday, was the passage where the man comes up to Jesus and says, "What is the greatest commandment?" Thinking that he is going to trick our Lord into saying, well, I think the greatest commandment is, you know, do not murder. Or I think the greatest commandment is honor your parents. And Jesus just turns it around and he says the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul. That is the greatest. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Reach out to one another. I mean, it's so simple. It's a message of love. And interesting, because our church fathers give us that passage on that Sunday when our attention should be on the second coming. Well, how do you prepare for the second coming? There's only one way, by listening to what the teaching of the first coming is all about. Okay, if you're in sync with Jesus' teaching to love, do you then care when the second coming is? Do you then care what's going to happen at the second coming? You don't need to care about it. Because you're in sync. You're in sync with the love commandment. Love one another. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive. Get out there and care for one another. Have compassion in your heart. Yes, you are not perfect. You have some problems. You have some history. You have some baggage. But that cannot prevent you from loving. That is who you are. And we each come to the table, we each come to life with different kinds of expressions, with different kinds of difficulties, but that cannot prevent us from really living out the Christian message of love, of caring, of having compassion. Interesting, huh? That the second coming of Christ is based on the first coming. Oh, obviously. It's more than interesting. It's logical. It's real. That's what Armadoxy is. And so when we talk about the disenfranchised, I think they're disenfranchised because we've given them all of this garbage that really has nothing to do with, well, it's disenfranchising from life. It has nothing to do with the reality of what life is about. Hey, I have difficulties in my life. I have some friends that have been rude to me. I have friends that have betrayed me. I have acquaintances. I have relationships in my lives. Whether it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, or a wife. Whether it's my child or my parent. I have relationships that have gone sour. That have been difficult. Okay, now how am I going to deal with these things? What am I going to say? Okay, there's a Christ and stigmata is on my hand and I've got like these wounds that are bleeding. And what does that have to do with it? Let's go one step further, okay? We are suffering from an immense, a tragic economy right now. I mean, I'm seeing it every day as a pastor. I'm seeing families that are really having struggles, difficulties. Our team that goes out to Skid Row, they're reporting different groups that are on Skid Row right now. Different groups, in other words, people that you wouldn't expect. But we're all basically a paycheck away from being out on the streets. And there's people out there that are hurting, that are suffering. Now, what do you want me to do? Show them a picture of Mary covered with oil? It just doesn't make sense, okay? What do you want me to do? Light some incense? Okay. Faith has to be something that helps us in life. Remember what Jesus, when Jesus, they criticized him. He was walking through the fields. And it was a Saturday, the Sabbath. And one of his disciples reached over and picked an ear of corn. Well, according to the Jewish traditions, you know, the letter of the law, you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. Okay, this guy was violating the Sabbath. Hey, don't your disciples know that this is the Sabbath, that there are laws? And Jesus puts it down really clearly. He says, those laws are made for us. We're not made for those laws. Think about it for a moment. Religion, faith, it's made for us to be able to get along with one another. We're not made for the system. The system is made for us so that we can operate better. We could operate more responsibly. We could take care of the people that we love, the ones we care about. That's what it's all about. And so when we're reaching out to the disenfranchised, when we're looking out for those people that are hurting, it's really up to us to present the church in very real terms. Because I don't believe that people will be disenfranchised if they are given something as solid as the church. Interesting, right? Look at the word that I chose. Solid as the church. That's the church that Christ was talking about. Something very solid, his body. He's not talking about something nebulous. He's not talking about something that's pie in the sky just out there and, you know, let's feel good and everything. No, it's very real. The second coming of Christ, when we are all going to be judged, is defined by Christ in Matthew chapter 25. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was in the hospital and you cared for me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was without shoes and you put some shoes on me. I was scared and you took me in. I was frightened and almost on the verge of death, and you gave me some hope. And people are going to say, come on, Jesus, when did we see you like this? Because after all, you and I, if we saw Jesus right now, I don't think there's anybody in the world, if we saw Jesus in that kind of destitute situation, if we saw him homeless, if we saw him naked, if we saw him without shoes, we saw him in the hospital, if we saw him hungry, I don't think that there'd be anybody who wouldn't say, oh, hey, let's take advantage of this situation, right? I mean, come on. Give Jesus a drink of water. Give Jesus some food. Doesn't that like guarantee me a place in heaven for all eternity? Yes, I'll take that bet. Come on, I'll put it out. I'll reach deep in my pockets and help out. And so people asked Jesus, they said, when did we see you in that situation? And Jesus said, when you do it to the least of my brothers, you've done it to me. Look how simple it is. It's not complicated. He was born again. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. These are complications because you have to decipher through a lot of stuff. I've already answered it for you. Here in Armadoxy, we have a straight solution to it. It was given to us by the same saint that I alluded to at the beginning of this podcast, Saint Nerses Shnorhali. He said, the name of love is Jesus. Ser Anun Jesus. The name of love is Jesus. So if you understand this and put in the factor that Saint John the Evangelist wrote in Holy Scripture that God is love, then you understand that yes, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way because Jesus is love. Love is the only way. It overcomes everything. It beats everything. Okay, I've given you the answer to that. Okay, there's the solution right there. But the simpleness of Christ's message is you need to take care of one another. When you've done it for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. You know what? I'm going to take a little break for a couple minutes. Let Susie make her announcement. And when we get back, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the things that have been happening around the world that kind of prompted me into this mode today to really talk about this disenfranchised group and talk about what we're doing and how simple this message is. We'll be back in just a moment. Here's Susie with an announcement about E-Possel.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced the next step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
An important message that Susie shares with us on how we can get involved. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm so excited about what this work, this body of work represents at E-Possel. And, you know, I know there's celebration times around Christmas times, gift giving, and I know that New Year's time is another time of celebration. I always like to point to Easter as the time of our celebration. It's coming up next week, and of course, the first Gospel was given to us on Easter. Christ has risen. No longer was death a factor, that we have overcome death in Christ. And, you know, to me, it is a time of celebration. It is a time of celebration, especially for the work that we're doing. I'm overwhelmed sometimes by the response that we get, and of course overwhelmed by the amount of work that goes out from this small little organization we call E-Possel. And it's a combined effort. It's the people who donate. It's the people who pray for us. It's the people who work. There's just so many aspects to it. And I'm overwhelmed. I'm humbled many times because you realize that, you know, this is what Christ is commanding us to do. Go therefore and preach to the entire world. baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember that I'm with you till the end of the ages. The Great Commission, right? Well, we could feel his presence. We know he's with us. We know in all aspects of our lives. And I think that Epostle is right now at a point where we're really pushing it, pushing the limits. And our programming is day by day. We're talking about expansion of this program, and hopefully we're going to have some new programs. Compass just started 6 months ago, and already the response is fantastic. The people that are responding, you know, what's I think the excitement about it is that they don't expect this from an Armenian church. And think about you, too. You're listening to this. Very few people expect this kind of programming from an Armenian church. It's really that relevancy factor that we've been talking about throughout today's podcast, about reaching out to the disenfranchised, people who are looking for deeper meanings of issues. You know, a few weeks ago, I did a podcast where it was an introspection. And since that time, I've had a lot of time to really think about this ministry and where we're going. I want to just tell you that I do believe it's God ordained, and I know that the Holy Spirit is working through each of us, through the letters that you send, through the emails, through the donation, through the, well, just forwarding the links, putting us on your Facebook page and sharing it with other people. It means a lot to us. God bless you all, and happy Easter coming up next week. Okay, for the last portion of today's show, I want to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read you some of the headlines that have been catching our attention. Do you remember as a kid, they'd call it current events? I forgot what class it was in. Was it in civics or in history or in some class? They'd have current events, and the assignment was really to look up in a newspaper. And it couldn't be, if I remember right, I don't think you could pick it up from the news, at television news or radio. Yeah, radio. That was something called radio back then. Anyway, you'd have to actually clip a newspaper and find it. Now, of course, news is provided to us in many forms these days. And I've been kicking around this idea, and I wanted to share with you today, that, you know, news is now bombarding us at a phenomenal rate. And I thought about this the other day. You know, in days of old, you'd write something. Whether it was an article or if it was a book or something profound, you'd write it and it would take, well, it wouldn't be easy to publish it, right? You'd have to get a publisher to say okay to it. If it was a magazine article or a newspaper article, you'd have to submit it. There's editorial boards. There's book boards, book review boards, there's publishers, you'd have to schmooze, and you'd have to write something very decent, and then they'd give their okay. I think this was the point of last year, that movie called Social Network. The phenomena, really, of Facebook was not that, you know, it became this multi-billion dollar corporation, or that Zuckerberg was 26, but basically, you didn't have to go through the usual procedures. You know, you didn't have to go out there and get this capital and get approval from a bank and some guy saying, what are you going to put up as collateral? No, you had a few computers and you'd put it together and you'd do it with a small investment. Well, the same way with writing. Today, writing has become so phenomenal that people are just writing. Well, even podcasting. Anybody who has a computer, keyboard, and now with the new iPads, you can just basically talk into it and you can publish. You can blog without anybody's approval, without a publisher, without an editor to say yes or no, that belongs here or doesn't belong there. Well, I was going through some of the recent stories, and it occurred to me that along with this idea of publishing, and everyone is a publisher, everyone has something to say, there's a time lag that is missing. In days of old, you would actually write that story, that book, and then there would be time for people to digest it. And so you'd have book clubs, you'd have people coming around and talking about ideas and concepts. Well, today it's basically this, here it is, this is what I believe, and you've got what Andy Warhol would call the 15-minute effect. Everyone had the claim to fame at for 15 minutes. I think it's now 15 seconds. It appears on a Twitter feed, or it appears on your Facebook page. Everybody looks at it, they comment, they give a thumbs up, yes, I like it, let's move on, and that's it. And you're already to your next feed, to the next bit of information. Nobody's going to go and search out archives. It makes you think about the entire point of archives. What is that concept of archiving? Yes, there is a group of people that would have meaning to, but I think for the vast majority of people, hey, you know, it's living in the current, being very current and right now, current events. Take a look at these headlines, okay? I want to just share with you. These are the headlines that appeared earlier this week. These are just straight off of a news feed. Doesn't matter which feed because they were just all over the place. Santorum to make SCOTUS stop during healthcare hearing. Okay, here in the United States, big healthcare issue. Obama presented a plan 2 years ago. It passed through Congress, and now it's being challenged, and the Supreme Court is having hearings. Actually, it finished last night, and they will be ruling on it in June. Okay? So, healthcare issues. Afghan official, these are headlines again. Afghan official, Sergeant Bales charged with death of unborn fetus. So, here's Sergeant Bales, who had killed a bunch of Afghani civilians. There was an unborn fetus in the group too. So that unborn fetus is now part of the charges too. Next headline, Trayvon Martin's parents to speak at Sanford Town Hall. Okay, Trayvon Martin, 16-year-old boy, kid, is being followed by some guy, George Zimmerman, who decides that based on what he calls self-defense, it's okay to take this man's life. And this young boy, finished. It's done. Gunshot, you know, and these are just headlines that are just being thrown out at us. North Korea moves rocket to launch pad. North Korea! This is like, you know, evil empire again, right? And they're now moving their rocket. In other words, they're showing that we have the capability of launching nuclear warheads as well, right? Dick Cheney, recovering from heart transplant. There's a name from the past. Iraqi women beaten in California, home dies. Tragedy! Here in California, aren't we like the liberal state over here, right? Iraqi woman is beaten in her home, being called a terrorist. It's just beaten in the home. Now she dies. Hunger Games has biggest opening for non-sequel. That's a movie, Hunger Games. Gingrich, Obama's Trayvon remarks disgraceful. Okay, there we go, back on the thing. So, okay, so I'm reading to you these different headlines. Now, just think about it. These are headlines throughout the week, and they just kind of like hit you. Now, every one of these, I know you've heard them throughout the week, but how relevant are they in your life today? They just move on. And then you get the Armenian newspaper. This is phenomenal because I think I could talk to you about the Armenian newspaper, and you probably have some kind of other rag sheet in your community, whatever it may be. Here's the editor of an Armenian newspaper, U.S. Armenia. Demion commits blasphemy to memory of Armenian genocide martyrs and Artsakh. Oh, blasphemy. Some guy's committing blasphemy? I mean, are we still using these kind of terms? Okay, here is the executive publisher, manager, editor of U.S. Armenian Life. He says, in early March, Haig Demoyan, director of Armenian Genocide Museum, Institute of Armenia, gave a press conference at the Consulate General of Armenia in Los Angeles to update Armenian Americans on the preparatory work of the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. The press conference was attended by several major print and electronic media representing a vast pool of readers and TV viewers in California and much of the United States. All right. During his remarks, Now, wait, are my remarks, are we waiting for this? What is the blasphemy here? Okay, never mind. Let me keep reading. During his remarks, Mr. Demian spoke at length about the Armenian Genocide and other issues without using the proper and legally indispensable term genocide. Instead, he carelessly misused the words Medzyeren, great calamity, which misrepresents the fact of the Armenian Genocide. Okay, now you talk about, are we out of it or what? And you go through Armenian newspapers and this is blasphemy? Well, it certainly shows that the editor doesn't know English well, but that's to be expected, okay? It is a foreign language newspaper. But still, I mean, you basically get the idea that blasphemy is something else. And considering all these other tragedies that are going on in the world, our good friend Gabriel Starring just yesterday took off for Chad. He's going to Chad to work in the refugee camps, documenting many of the genocide survivors of genocide that's happening right now in Darfur. And yet, here we go. Talk about irrelevant. You're talking about something 95 years ago and not making the tie. There is absolutely a tie between then and today. But you're unable to make that tie. Why? Because you're stuck on these terms. You're waiting for other people to define your experience for you, and you can't do that. What happens? You're going to die if you do that. And basically, that's what has happened within the Armenian community. It's a dead issue. People just don't care. And we're back to irrelevance. Armenian newspapers, the cover stories, okay? Don Surkrikorlu Savorich Mutni Virab, the celebration of St. Gregory the Illuminator into the pit. And there is a picture of one of the pontiffs, and he's got a relic that is basically the relic of the holy saint, and it is bronzed, gold-filled. It's in the shape of an arm, and there's little children who actually, if you look at the picture, they look kind of horrified that this man is holding up this gold hand. But you got parents like shoving them into their into these relics. Relevance. Is that relevant? What's going on over there, right? Here's another Armenian newspaper. Remember last week we talked about George Clooney. He was picked up. He was arrested. Civil disobedience at the Sudanese consulate. Well, one of the other Armenian newspapers picks up this story and places it on their front page. And it says that he was... oh, I'm sorry. George Clooney was picked up while he was demonstrating at a demonstration organized by the Haitad, the Armenian cause, for the Armenian cause. Come on, folks. The Armenian cause, the ANC, and Armenian people happened to be there. They might have helped support the cause at Sudan. But you and I both know that George Clooney was picked up for the farthest thing from the Armenian cause. But it makes for good copy, and it makes the people that are looking and searching for identity applaud these kind of events. Now, if this kind of stuff irritates you, it does me, because you realize that it is all show. And you realize that these martyrs that died 95 years ago did not die for somebody else to play with their name or their memory. And if the same way you think about your faith, that Jesus Christ, the message that he had was so pure, so simple, about love. He did not give up his life on the cross. He did not triumphantly resurrect so that we could sit here and talk about small little pettiness, about what it takes to get into heaven, how many drops of blood are coming out of the stigmata, and what kind of oil is dripping out of the Blessed Virgin's eye. But he did this act of salvation so that our lives can be pure, can be beautiful, can be full. That's what we're going to be talking about. That's what Next Step is about. That's what Armadoxy is about. That's what this ministry is all about. So I invite you. I invite you to get involved. This coming week is Holy Week. I want you to get over to our website today, epostle.net. Check on the one that says In Step with Christ. These are some fun little videos that we've been doing for the past couple years, and they're basically instruction. There's one about Holy Week. I want you to get on our website. There are podcasts for the Lenten season. It's called Lenten Journey, and we're on the last day. But this Saturday starts the new podcast, Holy Week, and it is a 9-day podcast that you can actually subscribe to. You could just download every day and follow them. They're small little lessons that help you through that Holy Week cycle. It's a beautiful week in front of us. Next Thursday, when we get together, we will be in the middle of Holy Week. It will be episode number 200. We're going to be broadcasting on Holy Thursday. And on that day, it is the institution of the Last Supper. There is feet washing. We're going to have a very special show for you. Until that time, I want to invite you to get in touch with us via the internet in any way you can. We always love to hear from you. Okay, that does it for us. Put a fork in me. We're done. All right. So for the wonderful team who put this podcast together, as well as everybody at Epostle, I want to just get you over to the Epostle site. I want to do a shout out to Vahid, doing a great job. It's being organized. Our archives are coming to life. Check out the new website. There's some new buttons you can play around with. For Susie, our producer, for Linda with her Compass show, make sure you listen to Compass with Linda Zadoyan. And of course, Ani, I cannot forget Ani. Well, she didn't make it today, but she will be back with us next week. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.